And so today we're going to close out our sermon series in Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. And our hope and our prayer is that you have your Bible, you have your cup of coffee, you have your donut or a bagel. And I want you to invite a friend to be a part of this worship service. Tell a family member. You never know that someone may just need to have a word of encouragement, and someone may just log on because you invited them. And the thing about us being able to use online ministry, you ain't got to get dressed up. You ain't got to say, oh, I don't have any church clothes. I don't have anything to wear. You can be in your pajamas. You can be in your favorite robe, and you can still connect with us. You can still worship with us. You can still connect with God. You ain't got to put on no church clothes. You can just, hey, in your own home, you can walk around how you want to, but we want you to be connected with us in the Word of God. So Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. And what we always do here at Beyond the Walls, we invite you wherever you are to stand as we read God's word. And so we make our home a sanctuary so we get a little exercise in. I know that some of you are exercising, so this is your form of exercise. We stand and we read God's word together. But also we symbolize as we stand, as that we are standing on the word of God. We are standing in God's, on God's promises, and we are standing unified in faith. So will you stand with me on God's promises? Will you stand on faith? And when you stand wherever you are, if people in your home ask you, hey, why are you standing? Say, I'm standing on the promises and the purpose and the word of God. So we want to stand and read Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. Galatians chapter 6. Verses 11 through 18. And please know that when we're online, you guys can interact with me. You can interact. You can type something on Facebook, on YouTube, or Vimeo. You can connect with me, and we'll try to answer any questions or any of your prayer requests at the end. But you can interact with one another. And if you see somebody online that you haven't met before, just reach out to them and say, hey, thank you for joining us. We're praying for you. Let's be who we are beyond the walls. Let's connect with one another. Let's love on one another. And let's tell those that we haven't seen, hey, we miss you, we love you, and we're looking forward to God's word. So are you ready to work? Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, starting at verse 11. The Apostle Paul writes, see with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. He said, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. The very words of God, let's pray together. Father, we are grateful that we can stand upon your promises. We stand, God, that we can stand in faith together, knowing, God, that your word will come to fruition in our lives. And Father, I pray, Lord, for those who are hearing your word, Father, that today their hearts will be transformed, their mind will be open to the truth, the revelation of the freedom that you want us all, Lord, to experience. So I pray, God, that you will be with me, and that you would speak to me and through me, that I may speak to your people. And that, Lord, we may in turn be better off from gathering together. That we may, Lord, be able to go out into this world and tell others about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you, Lord, for loosening the shackles upon our lives and allowing us to walk in freedom. We bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated wherever you are. And I entitled this message today, this is our last one in the book of Galatians, who do you live for? Who do you live for? I know many people are excited today because some people live for this season. And you say, well, what season is this? This is the NFL season. And some people are living for this season. They couldn't wait for the NFL season to happen. They are like, they're excited, they're ecstatic. They could not live for this season. They were worried that, oh, the NFL season was not going to happen. What was I going to do? And so you're excited about this season, and you have lived for this. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But I want you to understand that this is just a temporary season, that we have this season, then we go into another season. Now, some of you are going to be excited because your team is going to go all the way and is going to win the Super Bowl. Some of you are going to be depressed because your team is not going to do very well, and you're going to wish the season never happened. I won't call no names, but you know of your teams, but you know who you are. You know who you are. You know who I'm talking about. So, God bless you anyway. But so I'm tempted, but I won't do that because I want you to turn the TV off. I want you to turn me off right now. So I want you to be at peace with me. Stay with me. But what I'm trying to say is that what we understand is that the Christian season never ends, and that we are victorious, and we serve a God who cannot fail, who is victorious. And so when we understand that, we live for Christ, because in a real sense, because what you live for sometimes is what you can't pursue. And I heard this phrase from a guy, says that you become the thing you pursue. You become the thing you pursue. Now, what I mean by that is there are some people who begin to take on their identity of their team, and they become what they pursue. You know, and they become that thing. And we got to be careful that is that what we pursue doesn't change our character and make us something that we're not. And for us as Christians, we should be always pursuing the life and pursuing the person of Jesus Christ, because we want to become more like Jesus. And what I mean by that is that when we begin, if we want to have a season, an NFL season, and we're pursuing that, then that would get in the way of our pursuing Christ. Meaning the fact that if I got to choose football or choose Christ, guess what I'm going to choose? I should be choosing Jesus. Now, some people say, hey, it's my season of football, so I won't have a season of being in church because it's football season. That's not good. Because for the Christian, we call to serve God and to make him known and to glorify him. And so we got to understand the question, who do you live for? What are you pursuing? What is your raison d'etre? What is your reason for being? What makes you glorify God? What is it that gives you passion and hope? Now, this book of Galatians, that Paul was pursuing Christ and helping them grow in Christ, but the Galatians, they were pursuing Christ, but then what something happened, the Judaizers came in and began to teach false doctrine, and some of these Galatians began to try to pursue being accepted, being pleased by them, and they began to now want to begin to circumcise their flesh so that they can be accepted by the Judaizers. And I want you to know that God wants us to be, number one, know that we're accepted in him, and know that we can trust him, and it's all about the gospel of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And what we need to be pursuing is pursuing Christ and to pursuing the gospel. And when we pursue the gospel, guess what, which is the message that God loves us and gave his son Jesus Christ for us, then when we begin to pursue that, then guess what, we begin to become that, and we begin to want people to know more about who Christ is and what he has done for them as we are pursuing Christ. In other words, the more you begin to pursue Christ, the more you become like Christ, and the more you want other people to know what Jesus Christ is all about and what he has come to do. Because the Bible says that Christ came he comes seeking to save that which was lost. And if I am pursuing Christ, guess what will be my purpose? Making sure people know Christ. And so I want to encourage you to understand that we're called to live for Jesus Christ. And we're, because the best thing that we can know and the best team that we can follow and we can be a part of is Team Jesus, because he is victorious. And so my key truth this morning is this, is that we can experience true spiritual transformation only through the gospel. And if that is true, I should be pursuing the gospel, because we want spiritual transformation, true spiritual transformation that transfers from the inside out. And because I have that transformation, I'm pursuing that, then we should be looking, hoping other people and praying for them also to experience that, because we want people to know Jesus Christ. Beloved, if you are a Christian, you have been called to know Jesus, and you have been called to make him known. And you have been called to live for his kingdom and for his glory. Because the Bible says in Matthew 6 that we are to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all other things will be added, what? Unto us. So we are called to seek Christ and to make him known. So that's so important. So I want you to understand, so as we go through this final sermon series, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is going to begin to teach us some principles and to help them understand, the Galatians understand what they are to pursue, not to pursue in circumcision, but to be pursuing Christ, because once they pursue Christ, it changes everything in their lives. So the first thing I want you to us to understand is that when we are pursuing Christ, we are to understand that we're not going to be always accepted by other people. And so because that is true, we must understand, as Paul would tell the Galatians, I'm going to tell you, number one is this: beware of compromising your beliefs in order to be accepted by others. Beware of compromising your beliefs in order to be accepted by others. Look what Paul says in verse 11. Now he starts out saying, "See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand." Now, in other words, Paul is saying that he would sometimes speak the words and someone would write the words for him. And Paul is saying that this letter was so important that I want you to know that I wrote this letter with my own hands, and I'm writing with big letters because I want you to understand that this is so important. And then he says this part. He says, "It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross." So Paul is saying that these Judaizers who want you to be circumcised, they're only want you to be circumcised so that they would not experience persecution for the cross. And he was saying, and what he said is this, that these Judaizers are trying to have it both ways. They're trying to be friends with the world and trying to be faithful to Christ. And they're saying, okay, that we can be faithful to Christ, but what we can do is, if we can get these Galatians, get them to get circumcised. So what that means is, yeah, they're Christians, but they're still following the Mosaic and the Jewish law so that we don't get persecuted from our Jewish friends because we have accepted Christ and we have abandoned circumcision. So we can say, hey, we accept the Christ, but we're also keeping the law of Moses. And what we got to understand is that Paul had three enemies that he had to deal with while he walked on earth. He had three enemies that was constantly after him. Number one, he had the unbelieving Jews. He had the unbelieving Gentiles. And then he had the believing Jews who still wanted to hold on. They had faith in Christ, but they wanted to hold on to their Mosaic law. And they told Paul, "You can preach the gospel, but you got to tell them to obey the law of Moses." And Paul says, "No, I'm not going to tell them to obey the law of Moses, because the law of Moses has no validation or no authority on them coming to Christ and being Christians. And if they follow the law of Christ, you ain't got to worry about the law of Moses." And so here's the Judaizers, they're trying to keep from being persecuted. And they say, "You know what? We can, hey, follow Christ and still tell them, hey, Galatians, follow Christ, but get circumcised so that you can be accepted by us Jews, so that you're not going to be persecuted for just truly accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior." And sometimes we got to be careful too as Christians that people will hang around you and say, "Hey, listen, I love you, but don't come around talking about that Jesus stuff. Don't, hey, I'll hang around you. We can hang out, go to the movies, but don't tell me nothing about Jesus. Don't tell me that I need to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. Let's be friends, but keep that Jesus stuff to yourself." And really, you know, it don't take all that to follow Christ. I don't have to be at church. I ain't got to be connected. I ain't got to tell nobody about Jesus, because you know what? I just want to have fun, but keep that Jesus stuff to yourself. And what we got to be careful about is compromising who we are to be accepted by others. I'm telling you right now, if I got to compromise my faith to be friends with you, then guess what? We don't need to be friends. Because it is all about Jesus Christ. And also, young people, if you're listening to me, you must be careful and understand that if you want to follow Christ, you must follow him. And you should not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you should not let anyone, your friends or family, tell you that you have to stop talking about Jesus. You have to stop obeying Jesus to be their friends. If they tell you that, you must give them the peace sign and say, "I'll see you later and I'll pray for you." Because we must understand, we must stay connected to Jesus Christ and be faithful to him no matter what. And Paul was saying, even to the point that Galatians, you should not compromise and get circumcised in order to be accepted by these Judaizers or to please them, because he said the main thing is they don't want to be persecuted. They don't want to be persecuted for following Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand something, ladies and gentlemen, and point A is, don't be deceived. The cross of Jesus Christ is still offensive to people today. I want you to understand, the gospel is still offensive to people today. The cross of Jesus Christ is still offensive to people today. You don't believe me? Just start preaching. Start telling people start telling your friends that don't know Jesus Christ, start telling them about the gospel and see, they will drop you like a hot biscuit or tell you, don't talk about that. I don't want to hear that. That's offensive to me. Let's talk about something else. No, I want you to understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ is just as offensive today as it was in Paul's day. But we still must preach it. We still must live it. See, some people will tell you that the cross is out of style. Don't preach the cross. Just preach about Jesus' principles, because Jesus was a good teacher. Preach about the golden rule. No, Christ came to die for your sins. He died on the cross for our sins. He paid the price for our sins, and he rose again from the dead. It is the work on the cross that Jesus did for us that is so important. As Paul says, that Christ died for our sins. And the cross is a symbol of two things, that God loves us and also that God is holy, and that you and I need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. And even today, that offends people when you tell people you need to be born again, you need to be saved, and that there's only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ, who died for your sins on the cross. That is still offensive to people today. People don't want to hear that. They don't mind saying, hey, just be a good person. Just try to do the best you can. And when the scales are tipping, hopefully you've done enough good works, hey, it'll be okay. No, it's not about that. Listen, being a good person may be good for your family, may be good for your neighbors, may be good for your bosses, but it's not good enough to get you into heaven. It's only what Christ has done for you. And yes, Christians, we should be good people, but we're not being good people in order to gain God's favor. We're being good people because God is good, and God has empowered us, and God lives in us, and God has created us to do good works. So we're doing good as a way of saying, God, we thank you for what you've done for us. But we must always preach the gospel. People say, hey, and we got to be careful. We say, man, hey, I don't preach the gospel. I just do good works. Well, listen, you got to do both. You got to preach the gospel. You got to tell people what Christ has done for them, because it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And people must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. Well, you can't believe God raised him from the dead if you don't believe in the cross, and he died on the cross. Yes, the cross is offensive, and it will lead to persecution. Now, when I talk about persecution, we got to be careful, because sometimes as Christians, especially Americans, we can make up persecution. I mean, we can make it up that somebody's persecuting us, and they really ain't persecuting us because we are Christians. They may not like you because you're just a mean and nasty person. It has nothing to do with Christ. You know, don't say, well, oh, man, I got fired from my job because I was a Christian, and come to find out, no, you got fired because you was always late. You was always late, or you was always in the break room. They didn't fire you because you was a Christian. They fired you because you was a lazy worker, or you was always keeping up stuff. So be careful with that. So I want to understand, when we talk about persecution as Christians, we're talking about that a person is attacking you because mainly because you are a Christian, and they are upset because you are a Christian and you believe in God, and they want you to stop being a Christian. They're attacking you because of that. You know, we can't say, oh, man, someone's attacking me because, I had road rage and they attacked me because I'm a Christian. No, you almost ran off the road. But understand this. Persecution is something that we don't run to nor run from. Now, what I mean by that is this. We don't wake up in the morning and say, God, I just can't wait to be persecuted today. I'm waiting for somebody. No, we don't do that. But also, we don't run from it. In other words, what I mean by that is saying the fact that we do not compromise our faith for anybody. Now, that doesn't mean that we're being combative in all that we do. It means the fact that we're being loving and we're being consistent and we're being confident and we're not compromising our faith. So we're not looking for persecution, but we're not running from it. In other words, that if someone tells us either you got to stop living for Christ or else, we say we're going to live for Christ. And so the apostles, they never went running to persecution, but they didn't run from it. And that means the fact that we are still called to preach the gospel, we're still called to love people, but we got to understand and be mindful and be wise in the fact that, understand, when we do that, we do it with love, we do it with boldness, and we do it with compassion. And if persecution comes our way, we have to accept it. And so that is so important that, yes, that don't compromise your faith, you will be persecuted. But we don't run to it just to be running to it, nor do we run from it. We are consistent in who we are. And Paul was saying that these Judaizers, they're only telling the Galatians to be circumcised so that they would not experience persecution. What about you? Do you compromise your faith? When you're out with people, eating dinner with people who don't know the Lord, how do you feel about praying over your food? You say, well, I'm not going to do it because I want nobody to think I'm religious or holy. What do you do? Or do you still bow your head and pray? You say, oh, I don't want to do that because I don't want to offend nobody. See, those are simple things that we have to be careful about. Or even when it comes to sharing your faith with your family, with your friends. Or were you choosing to do something that you're choosing to serve God and they're saying, well, why you do that? Why you do this? Why you do this? Because you trust God. And so all I'm trying to tell you, my beloved, if you trust God and you follow God and you are consistent with doing that, you ain't got to look for persecution. It'll look for you. It'll come your way. You ain't got to look for it, but it'll come your way. And all you got to do is just trust God and stand firm in your faith. Because the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, we're in a spiritual battle anyway. So if we're in a spiritual battle, that means, in fact, conflict is going to come our way. Spiritual attack is going to come our way. Now, if you say, Pastor, I've never experienced conflict or a spiritual attack, well, that let me know right there, you ain't pretty much ain't doing that. You said it, not me. Because I'm trying to tell you, the Bible says in Ephesians 6 that we are in a spiritual battle. And if you are in a spiritual battle, you will experience some attacks and some persecution. And the Bible says we are to stand firm. I think we've done all we can do, stand firm. Now, it didn't say run from, it says stand firm. So we want to stand firm in our faith in all that we do. So don't run from persecution. Don't compromise your faith. And understand this. The gospel is always going to be offensive to people. One time I was at church one time, and it was a Sunday school class, and this guy said this phrase that really bothered me, and they were talking about the cross, and this guy said, he said, you know what, I think we need to stop talking about the cross because it's so barbaric. That was back in the day, that's so barbaric. We really need to get away from the cross. We need to be talking about this bloody cross. That's just barbaric. But you know what's barbaric? Sin is. Sin is barbaric. That's what caused Christ to go to the cross. And when you look at what happens in our world today, you see how sin plays a part in all that we do. The homicide rate, the death, the racism. Sin. No, sin is barbaric. The cross is God's love for us. And we must preach the cross. And no matter what comes our way, we got to trust him. Now, I remember one time also, another story. I haven't had many of these, but I had one of these, and this is a true story that happened to me. A friend of mine was married, and he was attending church, and his wife told him, she said, listen, I don't want nothing to do with this Jesus stuff, and I don't think we should have anything to do with this Jesus stuff, and I don't want you to be going to church. I don't want us giving our money to that stuff. I don't want to be a part of that. Matter of fact, I want to be married to a man who's a Christian. And she pretty much gave him a choice. Hey, either it's going to be me or it's going to be Jesus, but I don't want to be married to no Christian. And guess what he chose? He chose Jesus. And his wife divorced him. Now, when he came and told me that, I was like, are you sure this is what she, are you? And then it's going on, I need to know. He said, this is it. So when I talked to her myself, I said, let me, he wanted me to talk to her, so I talked to her and prayed for her and tried to encourage her. And she pretty much said to me the same thing. I don't want to be, I don't want to do this Christian stuff. And I don't want to be married to a Christian. He want to read his Bible. He want to pray. And he want to take our money and give it to the church. I just want to be a part of that. And she said, yeah, I don't want to be married to a Christian. And she divorced that man. She stirred him his papers. He came to my office crying, upset. Said, what should I do? And I said, brother, we're going to pray that God would change your heart. But if God don't change your heart, I pray that you will stand and won't compromise your faith. And we find the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Brother, God's called you to peace if she leaves you for Christ and trust him. She left him. Sad day, but victorious. So I would say today that he is still serving God, still trusting God, and God blessed him and used him mightily. And God sent him a Christian woman who loves God, and they have two children together. But he had a choice to make. Do I love my wife more than I love Jesus? And he says, I gotta trust Jesus. Now, that's to me some serious persecution. I don't want that. But he experienced that. So that's why we got to be careful when we start saying, oh, I'm persecuted for this. And really, in America, we really haven't experienced persecution. I haven't experienced anyone that I've known watching on television, someone being pulled out of the church and being killed for preaching the gospel in America. I haven't seen that lately. I haven't been persecuted for preaching the gospel as far as being, for my life being threatened. I've had things said about me, but oh well. But what we got to understand for all of us, we don't run to it, but we don't run from it. Let's stand firm in our faith. And don't let anyone, especially people who are religious, don't try to compromise your faith for religious folks. Now, and what I mean by religious folks, I mean that people who outwardly wear their religion, how they think, how they dress, how they wear their hair, how they do things is make them religious. And they're telling you, if you are really serving Christ, you would dress like me, or you would talk like me, or you would act like me. No, we're not talking about it, because God has called us to be individuals, but he calls us to have our faith in Jesus Christ and to trust him. But God hadn't called us all to dress alike, talk alike, and act alike. So we have to be careful. When people try to put you in the mold and say, you got to act this way, talk this way, dress this way, eat this way, be careful about those things. God has called us to be free. Freedom to be everything that God's called us to be. But also, Paul talks about this, and he says also in verse 13, for even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. He says they're only doing this. They're only boasting because they want to brag about to their friends how many Galatians they got to get circumcised. In other words, you only a notch in their belt. They don't want to brag about how they converted you to what they believe. And see, that's why we got to be careful also, because now these were, and you know, in the Galatians' mind, these were spiritual leaders. And that's why I want you to understand that, you know, when we say, who do we live for? We should live for Jesus no matter what. We should live for him, live for his truth. And also, we got to be careful, even in these days, we got to be careful and beware of spiritual leaders who boast in your allegiance to them rather than your obedience to Jesus Christ. Paul says that these Galatians only want you to be circumcised so that they can boast in your flesh. That they can boast that they got you to compromise and to be circumcised. And so they say, they count, we got this whole church to be circumcised. We led them to be circumcised. And I want you to understand, we got to be careful here that our allegiance is to Christ first, and we are to be obedient to him. Yes, the Bible says we are to honor spiritual leaders, but we got to be careful that we don't begin to let spiritual leaders boast in our allegiance. We got to be aligned and be obedient to Christ and Christ alone. And so what Paul is saying to these Galatians, and notice what Paul is saying. Paul is not telling them to be obedient to him. He's saying be obedient to the gospel that he preached. In other words, be obedient to Jesus Christ. And he says that if you will obey these Judaizers, you're going to be disobeying Jesus Christ, because the gospel is not about circumcision. It's about the heart, and it's about faith in Christ. He says that if you allow yourself to be circumcised, you're going to be separated from Christ. In other words, you're going to be turning your back on Jesus to align with these leaders. And these leaders are not after Christ. They're after your allegiance, so they can boast about your flesh and not about you. So beware of spiritual leaders. Because some people are spiritual leaders. They become spiritual leaders because they want people's allegiance to them. It's about them. Some people get into the ministry because they have an emotional or mental or need for people to give them attention. Beware of people like that who need your approval or need your attention so they can feel good about themselves. See, we don't come into ministry because we need anything. We come because God has called us to a ministry, and we come to bring him glory. It's not about us. It's about him, and we point people to Jesus Christ. See, I believe that all of us who are called to the ministry should take the approach of John the Baptist. I must decrease so that he must increase. That I'm not even worthy to bow down and tie Jesus' sandals. It's about Jesus. It's not about us. And so much so that John the Baptist, he had his followers, and he pointed them to who? Jesus. You know that Peter and John was disciples of John the Baptist, but they were disciples of Jesus, and John pointed them to Jesus, and they went and started following Jesus. And John just said, "Hey, where y'all going?" No, he said, "I told you I wasn't the Messiah. I told you to follow Jesus." And so we have to be careful, myself included, that, hey, it's about you obeying Jesus and not me. It is not about your allegiance to me. It's about your allegiance to Jesus Christ. And we are to brag and boast about that we have been called to serve God. See, be careful. When we spiritual leaders start saying, "Oh man, I'm running so many people, or I got so-and-so following me, or this person at my church, or I got so many people over here." No, stop boasting about that. Boast that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Glorify God for that. See, if we're truly spiritual leaders, or we're truly discipling people, the goal is this. Discipleship is all about pointing people to Jesus Christ. See, if I'm truly discipling people to Jesus Christ, they'll look more like Jesus and less like me. See, what God doesn't need is a church full of Pastor Feltons. He don't need a church full of me. He needs a church full of Jesus followers. What God's looking for, I need a church full of my son. I need a church full of people who look like Jesus and act like Jesus. So that's what Paul says. They don't even keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your faith. In other words, they are incapable of fully obeying Jesus. In other words, they're not in it for obeying Jesus. They're in it for the wrong reason. In other words, they're in it not for the spiritual sentiment. They're in it for the fleshly part of it, to boast. So Paul says, be careful. Watch out for them, the smooth talkers. Watch out for those who would try to trick you and want you to be aligned to them and not following Christ and obeying him. See, I believe this for us who are called to the ministry. And in a real sense, all of us are called to the ministry. Every Christian called to the ministry. So that phrase really means all of us as Christians. But all of us who have the gift of spiritual leadership or discipleship or teaching is this. If we are truly making disciples, then they will be more in love and loyal to Jesus Christ than to us. If you and I are fully leading people to follow Jesus Christ, they will be more in love and loyal to Jesus Christ than to us. And that's so important, right? Isn't that the most important thing? That people are more in love and loyal to Jesus Christ than to us? And what are we looking for? Because when we try to make people more in love and loyal to us, then we say, okay, well, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but no, what the Bible says, and we ought to obey that. And so what Paul is saying, that these Judaizers, they're really trying to get you to discredit and disobey the word of God to get circumcised. Yeah, I know Christ, but. Yeah, I know you believe in Christ, but do this. Yeah, I know you believe in Christ, but hey, to really be fully one of us, you got to do this. No, Christ is enough. And I don't care how good of a leader they say they are, no one deserves your full loyalty except Jesus Christ. He is the one that we are to love, because Jesus is not going to share his glory with you and me. He's the one died on the cross for us. He's the one that set us free. He's the one that's given us freedom and given us forgiveness. So it's so important that you and I, all of us are called to make disciples. But in making disciples, the test is going to be, is this person more in love and loyal to Jesus Christ than to us? It kind of reminds me of a story in the Bible of Jonathan and David. Jonathan had a father named Saul, but Jonathan's friend was David, who was anointed to be the next king by God. But Jonathan was in line to be the next king by his father, because King Saul was his father, and when he died, it would be Jonathan. But Jonathan knew that David was going to be the next king. He knew. And his father said, I'm going to kill David because he's a threat to the kingdom and to your kingdom. And it was Jonathan who told David what his father was going to do. And he protected David and said, David, I love my father, but I'm more loyal to God's will, and God's will is for you to become king. And I will not let my father kill you. Now, that's powerful in the essence of the fact that Jonathan is saying, I know what God's purpose is, and I'm willing to go against my father, even my own ambition, because I know what God has done and what God's going to do in your life, and I'm going to submit to God's will, and I know that God has called you to be king, so I'm more in love with God. And what we need friends who are more in love with God and more loyal to God than to us, because when they love God and they're loyal to him, they can't help but love us and treat us with compassion. And with truth. See, I want people who are more in love with God and more loyal to them. Because if you love God, you're loyal to God, then I ain't got to worry about you mistreating me, because the Bible says to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. So the question for you, what do you want? People more in love with you, more loyal to you than to Jesus. So we got to be careful that we don't try to lead people this way or that way. We don't want to lead people to follow Jesus Christ, and that is so important. If we're making disciples, we're making disciples to Jesus, not to us. Because in one sense, in a true sense, if we make disciples to Jesus, eventually our purpose will come to an end. See, what do you mean by that? Eventually, that when you make a disciple, they'll come to you for answers and come to you for things, but eventually, if you're discipling them truly, they'll begin to pray for themselves. They'll begin to think for themselves. They won't be calling you anymore. They'll be able to hear from God himself and have him lead them and not you. That's the goal. It's for them to be to pray to God themselves and let God lead them. And not always when they have an issue, they got to pick up the phone and call you. They can call Jesus himself. That's the goal of discipleship. That they become spiritually mature Christians that don't need you. They need Jesus. And they will obey him over you. Not only that, he says also in verse 14, Paul says, but far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. See, we got to be careful also. When we talk about who do we live for, Paul is saying that beware of spiritual idolatry. Beware of spiritual idolatry. Now, what is idolatry? Who or whom has your allegiance is idolatry. See, idolatry is placing anything or anyone in the supreme place of your life. The thing that you pursue the most. The thing that drives you, the thing that motivates you, the things that affects your thinking of how you feel about, the things that drive you, what is that thing? If it's not Jesus, then it's idolatry. The person that's supposed to reign supreme in our lives as Christians is Jesus Christ. The person who should have our full allegiance and full love is Jesus. And Paul says that I'm not going to boast in anything except in the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul could boast in his worldly achievements. He talked about that in Philippians 3, that he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, the tribe of Benjamin. His education talked about being a religious leader. But he said, when it come to Christ, he said, listen, I took all my human accomplishments, my fleshly accomplishments, and I burned them on the fire to accept Jesus Christ. I count that all as dung to find Jesus Christ. In other words, I don't let any of those things get in the way of Jesus. See, nothing gets in the way of us following Jesus. See, we shouldn't even worship, once again, don't even worship Christian leaders. See, we have a problem, especially in our church today, we have what I call celebrity Christians. Oh, I follow so-and-so. Oh, I follow this person. Oh, I'm always following this person. Oh, matter of fact, you quote that person more, you quote the Bible. Well, so-and-so said, oh, I had to follow so-and-so. No, we need to follow Jesus. It's okay to be edified for someone who teaches or someone does that, but when you begin to make that your worship or that make your authority, then be careful, because man will always let you down, intentionally or unintentionally. They will always let you, they will always disappoint you, because no one can fully live up to your expectations. But our goal is to look for Jesus Christ and to worship him. Don't worship Christian leaders. And Paul says, hey, I don't boast in anything except the cross of Christ. Now, Paul says, I don't even boast in me leading you to Christ, or even, I don't even boast in me founding this church. No, the Galatian church. God used Paul to lead the Galatians to Christ, and you don't hear Paul boasting about, hey, it was me who led you to Christ. He says, no, it's about Jesus. He says, I'm pointing you to Jesus Christ. It's not about me. So don't worship Christian leaders. And not only that, don't even boast about your spiritual achievements. All that you do should be done for Christ. And all that you've ever accomplished for Christ has been done by the power of the Holy Spirit. See, it's the Holy Spirit that gives you the divine enablements to do what God's called you to do. See, we can't even boast about our spiritual gift. You know why? It was a gift given to us by God. So if you have a spiritual gift, you can't even boast about that. God gave it to you. Matter of fact, the Bible says that God gives spiritual gifts to those as he chooses, as he pleases. In other words, in the real sense, in the true sense, Pastor Felter can't even boast about being a pastor, because I didn't choose myself to be a pastor. God gave me the gift of pastor. He gave it to me. He says, hey, I'm going to give you this gift, not because you're good, because I want to. Has nothing to do with you. And so what God is saying, when you became a Christian, I gave you the gift of pastoring, and eventually, once you discovered it, now you're using your gifts, but I gave it to you. Don't forget who gave it to you. God is the one. So I tell people, don't worship Pastor Felton. No, please don't do that. Worship Jesus Christ. And us as Christians, don't boast about your spiritual achievement. Oh, I led, man, so many people to Christ. I led them to Christ. I did that. No. By the grace of God. God working through me. And Paul says, I only boast in what? The cross. See, our boast is only in what Jesus did for us on the cross. What did Christ do on the cross? He paid my sin debt. He paid our sin debt. And the greatest thing that you could ever have done for you is to have your sins forgiven. That's the greatest thing you could ever have done for you, is your sins forgiven. It doesn't matter what you achieve on this world if your sins have not been forgiven by God. It's all about what Jesus Christ has done. And yes, we want to boast. Let's boast on the cross. Let's boast in what Christ has done. Let's celebrate Jesus. And I believe that if we spend more time celebrating Jesus and glorifying him, we'll walk more humbly and we'll walk more lovely with our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's not about us. We don't need our ego stroked. It ain't about us. So Paul says neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. He says, ain't about your flesh. Whether you are circumcised or not circumcised, it's about your heart, the new creation. It's about, have you been born again? Have you been transformed from the inside out? Are you walking with God? Are you walking faithful with Jesus Christ? See, in other words, my beloved Christian, you don't need a title to love God. Say that one more time. You need a title to love God. If you need a title to serve God, then something wrong with you, and you should never serve God. Because you are a Christian and you've been born again, you should serve God, and people should know who you are by what you do. In other words, you need a title of deacon to serve. Hello? Service that serve. We're called to do that. Well, if I was a deacon, I would serve. Brother, you shouldn't be a deacon. Because you should be serving already. Pastor made me a deacon. No, God makes you a deacon. We all call to be servants. I just identify who you are. I just look at the fruit. Hello? Don't turn me off. I see you. Don't turn me down. There's nothing wrong with your television. The Wi-Fi is working. Also, look what he says. Paul says this. I love what he says. He says in verse 14, he says, I boast in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says this, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. What is Paul saying? Let us see. Live in the world, but remain totally loyal to Jesus. Paul says the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. What Paul is saying, the world is dead to me and I'm dead to the world. What does that mean? What is Paul saying? Wait a minute, I think it goes again to Galatians 2:20 when Paul says that I have been crucified with Christ, yet I live, and the life I live in the flesh. I live through Christ Jesus. And what he is saying is this, Paul is saying all my fleshly and worldly ambitions died on the cross, and now I have been taken up to live God's purpose for my life, and I don't let the world totally have my allegiance. And what I mean by that is this, the world system no longer has our allegiance or holds us hostage for its approval. The question is, who do you live for? Christ or the world? See, there are many people, even right now, some Christians are about to lose their mind. In November, there's going to be some Christians that you're going to talk off the ledge. Because they are going to be concerned, whoever don't get the White House, they're going to lose their mind. And I'm telling you, I've seen the church, we are so divided over politics. Well, hey, are you a Democrat? Are you Republican? Are you a liberal? Are you a conservative? And what I'm trying to say, listen, we should have our own opinions, we should have our own convictions, but what we cannot do is begin to have any party have our total allegiance. That's vote for who you want to. But no one should have your total allegiance. No Republican Party, no Democratic Party should have your total allegiance. It belongs to Jesus, and don't let them hold you hostage. Well, you know, I'm a lifelong Republican, so I gotta go. I don't care who you are. You should be a lifelong Christian and glorify Him. So please, yes, exercise your right to vote. But more importantly, exercise your faith. Yes. That the church is made up, is big enough for Republicans, for Democrats, for liberals, for conservatives, because our faith is not founded in no party, it is founded in Jesus Christ. And yes, we are to participate in government, but not be held hostage by any party. So who are you loyal to? Some of you, all you gotta do is watch and see your Facebook page, we know who you loyal to. That's who you pursue, who you talk about all the time, who you quote about, who you always putting on. You always got something on Facebook about this person, that person. So we know who you loyal to. It should be to Jesus, though. And that's what Paul could say. The world is crucified to me and I to it. In other words, the world has no power over my peace. I don't lose my mind based on who's in the White House or who's not in the White House. Some of you are going to lose your mind. Oh, the world's coming to an end. My brothers and sisters, the world's been coming to an end. But it's coming to Jesus. See, the only thing that matters is our new identity in Jesus Christ. That's point two. That's the only thing that matters, our new identity in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul says. circumcision or no circumcision, but a new creation in Christ. In other words, if I can put it in modern terms, it don't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. The only thing that matters is that have you been born again? Have you been transformed by the power of Jesus Christ? That's what matters. Are you a new creation in Jesus Christ? And he says, and as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon Israel. We should live by that rule and walk by that rule and practice that. Don't let our politics divide us, because our faith is what unites us. Let's be focused on Jesus Christ, and let's live for him. And I love what Paul says. You can tell Paul, look now, I'm up here walking for, I'm working for Jesus. I'm going through persecution, and I don't need to be bothered with this nonsense. He said, look at this, in verse 17, from now on, let no one cause me trouble. For I buried my body, the marks of Jesus. He said, listen, I'm out here getting beat. I'm getting scratched for Jesus. And I got to go back and tell you guys that circumcision doesn't mean anything, that it's about Christ. He said, listen, do not cause me trouble with this nonsense, because it's about Jesus Christ. And I'm out here bearing his mark. In other words, Paul is saying, these guys are worried about circumcision. I'm out here being persecuted. I'm out here getting lashes for Jesus. See, when you're working for God, you have less patience for nonsense. We don't live for him. It's about Jesus Christ and our new identity in him. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. Don't we need God's grace in our lives? So how do we take it beyond the walls? How do we live this out? We should boast only in the cross and seek to point our friends and our families to Jesus Christ. Yeah, it's good to have things. You shouldn't boast in those things. You shouldn't boast in your education, boast in your position, boast in your standing in the community, boast in what Christ has done for you. And when you boast and pursue him, you will automatically pursue and point other people to Jesus Christ.